News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, Penn School's expert panel with Meg. And our expert this next half hour is Terrence A. Gross, attorney and founding and managing partner with Gross and Schuster, a personal injury law firm. Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
Good morning, and thank you very much for that introduction. And I would have to agree with all that you said. And yes, I am a personal injury lawyer, but every now and then, I'd like to use this opportunity to talk about other matters in a legal format, but not necessarily personal injury, and that's what I'd like to do today. And as your little caveat said before the show began, these views are my views and not necessarily the station's. This is, Terrence Gross speaking himself. And what I want to talk about, but I'm going to set the stage here. I want to talk about this whole Minnesota situation with the death of Miss Good and Mr. Pretty, and not get emotional about it, not use political biases, because you can almost watch the commentators on networks and you can pretty much see which party affiliation they have. So I'm trying to approach it from just a legal standpoint, unbiased, and so forth. I'm not a member of either party. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm an independent. I do lean somewhat to the right, but also I'm a lawyer and I believe in the rule of law. So let's take each one and dissect each incident, because they're very different. Even though it was ICE, it was the same state, both people were protesters and both lost their lives, there's some commonality, but there's also many differences. So, do I think these people in Minnesota have a right to protest the actions of ICE and so forth? And the answer is an absolute yes. They have every right to protest. It's our First Amendment right, and they have a right to do that. But protesting, like any other action we have, has limitations. And some of those limitations are you cannot commit criminal conduct while protesting. So being on the side of the road with a sign saying, we hate ICE, ICE is not nice, or whatever you want to say, it's fine and dandy. But with the Miss Good situation, where I believe she did cross the line, is that she blocked traffic intentionally, was trying to block ICE in the performance of their duties, whether they were right or wrong. She was pretty much being a vigilante, taking the law into her own hands. Now, did she deserve to die for this? Of course not. But it's just a combination of things. So I would advocate anybody that's protesting. To take an extreme example, when we saw what happened after George Floyd in Portland, burning up police cars, is that protest? No, that's criminal conduct. Burning up police stations, that is criminal conduct. Breaking windows of innocent grocery store owners had nothing to do with them. Looting them has nothing to do with protest. That is criminal behavior, many different crimes, depending on what you're doing. So here, going back to Miss Good, she was certainly impeding law enforcement, because ICE, whether you like it or not, is law enforcement. There's no question about that. Impeding law enforcement in the as they tried to perform their duties, which is a crime. And then one officer on the side of her was directing her, obviously, to get out of the vehicle, which she refused to do. And I see this, we're plagued with this nationwide with civil disobedience. Whether the officer's right or wrong or whatever, when an officer, you're stopped, and maybe I was stopped a few years ago, they thought I was DUI just because I was changing my radio and my car maybe weaved a little bit, and he pulled me over and started asking me questions, and license registration, I gave it to him. Asked me about, had you been drinking? No, sir, I've not been drinking. Why are you chewing gum? I always chew gum. And I've got whatever. So he finally just said, okay, well, make sure you drive safer, and left after that. But if people we're played with defiance of law enforcement officer, which she did, so she was obviously being instructed to get out. Now, whether she knew the other officer was in front of her at the time, we'll never know, because we don't know what was in her mind. And he wasn't clearly seen on some of the videotapes I've seen. Clearly, she backed up a little bit and then sort of abruptly went forward, and her wheels were turned, but he wouldn't have seen that the wheels were turned. It seems like he was impacted, at least jumped out of the way, but it was some impact, no serious injuries. So the question, it then begins to be, you know, self-defense for him. So if he, let's say, should he be investigated? Yes, he should be investigated, of course. Maybe go to a grand jury and they can look at all these videotapes and witness accounts and so forth. But again, I think I can't get away from the fact that she was intentionally blocking traffic. She wasn't some lady picking up her kids from school, just sort of got caught there as they were doing things. She was intentionally blocking and trying to impede law enforcement in the performance of her duties. Then she failed to abide by the instructions to get out of the car, and she looked like she was trying to get away, which are several crimes. Did she know the officer was in front of her? I don't know. We may never know that, because we can't know what was in her mind. But yet, so maybe the first shot, possibly the first shot that he made was a lawful shot. I mean, so she's, from his view, he's in front of her. Maybe assumed she saw him. She seemed more distracted from the officer to her side. But anyway, the one through the windshield, self-defense, cars coming at you, it is a weapon. And there's actually case law saying that vehicles can make a battery an aggravated battery, because you can use a car certainly as a weapon. And the first shot is probably, if that was all there was, I don't know that a grand jury would indict the guy. The two shots in the window after he's clear of her, I got a problem with. And I've heard people on the right say, well, they're taught to tap, 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 and whatever, but it maybe I saw it in slow motion. I feel very uncomfortable myself personally with the other two shots. So again, an officer has a right to use deadly force when necessary to protect his life and so forth. But there's, you know, with self-defense is not absolute. So someone's breaking into your house. You come out with your gun, you hear the noise, you see a body coming in through a broken window, you have every right to shoot that person. And I don't think any state would indict you for that, because you're defending yourself and property. But if that person sees you and now they're taking off down the driveway and you put two shots in their back, that's not self-defense, because any danger to yourself has abated. They're leaving and whatever, but it's not the Wild West. You just can't shoot them down, even though they were attempting to burglarize your house and so forth. So there's limitations on self-defense. And then the fine line, because in the timeline, again, I've seen a lot of these tapes in slow motion. How much time was there between the first shot and the other two shots, and which shot actually killed her? Was it a combination? I think, you know, autopsies will show trajectories. I think it's going to be very easy for a physician to determine the bullet that came through the windshield, what trajectory, what organ, what did it do, and whether that was a lethal shot or not. But anyway, that's her case. But I would tell you, where she crossed the line, she went beyond protesting to committing crimes. And not that she deserved to die. I'm just making the point that the stage was set, and also believe officers should de-escalate. And did these officers de-escalate? The answer is no. Now we go to Brittany, Mr. Brittany.
And if you just take one second, I just want to let people know, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Terrence A. Gross with Gross & Schuster. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and we're getting a really interesting perspective on these very important events that everyone has been watching for the last several weeks, but it's just an interesting legal perspective that Terry is bringing to the table. So go on to the next case, Terry. It's fascinating.
Well, before I do want to leave, I want to say one thing. I've learned this as a lawyer. Judges know this very well. When people feel that they're weak in the arguments, they bring in tangents. They bring in character assassination. So if you feel you're weak in your argument, there's no point to do character assassination in any trial that I'm involved in, no matter what you think. So when I hear some of my friends on the right, and they're trying to make the point about how lawful this was, they use the word lesbian. And right away, it's a turnoff to me. Because whether she was a lesbian or not, what does that have to do with the price of eggs? That's not, that's white noise. So what her sexual persuasion was has nothing to do with the events that took place that day. And that just tells me that they're trying to do some character assassination to help make their point and whatever. And conversely, I've heard other things. So now we go to Mr. Pretty. But before, now that we know about the second tape, and it's obviously him, the first tape a week before is obviously him, no doubt in my mind. I think he's wearing some of the same clothing, but there's no argument that we can make it wasn't him. And what did we see in the first tape that took place a week or so before? We see a person agitated, carrying a weapon. You can see the same gun he's carrying, spit on the police SUV, and then kick out the taillight. Many kicks until he successfully did it. And then when the cops get out, fight with the cops and take down. That is not protesting. Again, this is all kinds of criminal conduct. Now, again, it's not just white noise, because these officers on the second meeting knew nothing about that. But it just tells us a little bit, more about Mr. Pretty, because there's people that are either would like to support his situation. He was a nurse or whatever. I don't care what he was. He could have been a nurse. He could have been a janitor at his school. It doesn't really matter what his profession was. Again, that's white noise, like saying that she was a lesbian. So it's just white noise. It has nothing to do with anything. He was a protester. What job he had makes no difference. But, and again, there's this argument about the Second Amendment. Now, we've talked about the first, let's talk about the second. So did he have a lawful carry and conceal permit? And the answer is, by all authorities, sounds like he did. That some people made a point that, oh, he didn't produce the ID. Well, he was never asked to. So again, that's white noise. That's a non-event. Whether he had his ID, his carry concealed weapon thing on him, makes no difference, because it's a non-issue, because nobody that I can see asked for it and never came to fruition. So it's just somebody trying to make their point and trying to muddy the water and distract you from the truth. So, but the truth is that he was more than just a protester. And what he did on the first tape was criminal, destruction of property, criminal mischief, whatever they want. And of course, Brady, once you start tussling officers, it's a felony. I think they let him go. It's a remarkable, I don't know that he was arrested, which is remarkable. But anyway, he's taken down again in a very similar fashion, of course. And that event, he did not lose his life. So, and then his father's quoted as saying, we told him not to do that, to be careful and not carry the gun. I mean, he was warned by his father. And so the fact that it was lawful. He broke no laws carrying the gun. He did not draw the gun, unlike which some of the authorities have said he never did that. But it's just not smart. So forget the Second Amendment. Just, if you know that you're going to a protest and you know that you may get involved physically, as he's already exhibited, why on earth would you bring a gun? I mean, what are your motivations? Or nothing good can come from it. So it's just not good common sense. You may not break the law. He broke no law with that gun, but it's just not walking around smart. So there's not a real... and because that, unfortunately, probably led to him losing his life. So then, there's many tapes. Now we go to the second time. And where it begins is you can see that the police or this ICE, law enforcement, are physically encountering the lady. I don't know how that started, but you do. It begins, the ones I've seen, where they are struggling with this lady, and all of a sudden he physically inserts himself. That's a crime right there. I mean, law enforcement's doing their duty. Like Ms. Goodyear, now impeding law enforcement in the pursuit of their duties. It's certainly a crime, and if you even battery, whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony, you can resist with or without violence. But he physically got involved, not talking to them, let her go, blah blah blah, but physically got involved with these fellas, and that led to more altercation and a lot of confusion. I've seen some tapes, and it's so fast. We're watching this stuff slow, and again, by now, there's probably five officers involved. It appears to me that just before he shot, one of the officers successfully removed it from his hip, from his holster, turned around, and was trying to, exit that little scrum with Mr. Pretty's gun, which... who knows who knew other than that officer? Did anyone know that he had the gun other than the officer that had the gun? Mr. Pretty made, I don't know, because it looks like also after the gun's removed, it looks like Pretty, his hand goes down towards the hip. So somebody had obviously yelled gun, and then the shooter, now shooting nine times sounds like overkill to me, maybe not the best words to use, but nine times makes no sense to me. But again, here he is struggling, resisting arrest, breaking crimes. He had set the stage. So all of the people that are blowing the whistles, whatever, I don't see any of them being physically accosted. The officers weren't just going up to bystanders. And so Mr. Pretty inserted himself, and unfortunately, like Ms. Good, lost his life. He deserved to die. Of course he did not. And he could have been a very good person, really cared about the issues at hand, about ICE, but how he dealt with it. You can't be a vigilante. You can't take the law in your own hands. And even if you don't respect or like certain areas of law enforcement, they are law enforcement. I saw a Afro-American, I think police chief, maybe of Chicago or somewhere, give a very passionate speech thereafter, and that's what he was saying, that they're all law enforcement, whether you're a sheriff's deputy, whether you're a police officer, whether you're an ICE agent, whether you're FBI, you're law enforcement, and that you have to respect, and then you can challenge it later. So if you think an officer's wrongfully detaining you or whatever, I will tell you the truth. I have a dear friend of mine that called me this week, real dear friend of mine, and he was definitely in a lot of angst. And he says, I need your help. And I go, well, what's going on, man? He goes, well, my little brother went to a certain bar, had too much to drink, probably showed his butt, and wouldn't leave when they asked him to. So they called the cops. So he would have been arrested for, I don't know, maybe disorderly conduct or trespass because you've been asked to leave your space. So some little misdemeanor. But when the officers got there, he decided to tussle with the officers. Now he was charged with a felony, and they wouldn't even post a bond on this young man. And they're because of what? Civil disobedience. You took a misdemeanor, which I'm not making light of it, but a misdemeanor is a misdemeanor. And the bond is usually they let you out their own recognizance, or you pay a $500 bond and you're out of jail in an hour or two. Versus a felony, where you're resisting arrest with violence, and then now you're in felony court and whatever. So a lot of people make that mistake, and it's just wrong. Now, are all officers just and right? Of course not. And as I used to be a criminal defense lawyer, and I felt that sometimes my clients were telling me the truth. They said, Mr. Gross, I put my hand behind my back, and then he twisted my arm, and I pulled away. It hurt. And then they charge you, with a felony resisting arrest of violence or something. So, I mean, not that officers, they're not all right, and they may overcharge, and they may overdo things. So, again, I don't know about the training of every ICE agent, but, again, they are apparently trying to do their job, whether you like it or not. And to physically interfere, it's just going to lead to bad consequences. Whether you're getting shot, I hope's the you know, the rare form, but at least you're going to be arrested. There's been a lot of arrests with people physically encountering these people, and it's going to, I mean, and every judge is going to sentence them and convict them as they should. You know, so I feel pretty strongly about that. And just as strongly, by the way. So if you're liberal and you're thinking, oh, here he's really far right, I believe that on January 6th, anybody that, you know, physically did anything overtly criminal, breaking, if they actually broke into the government building, and then if they accosted a law enforcement, they are as guilty and should be fined and sentenced and convicted as well. So it's good for the goose, should be good for the gander, regardless of your political party. You cannot take the law in your own hands because you don't like a certain position. And it seems to be an epidemic. I think especially more so with younger people, this whole disobedience of law enforcement, it's a national trend. And it's not just these ICE agents. Think if you have friends that are Santa Rosa County, Skinny County deputies or Pensacola police officers, talk to them and they'll tell you that. And a lot of these things just get blown up when they're just going in to, you know, to calm things down. Maybe there's been a domestic violence call and they're just coming in. They're not coming in to arrest anybody. They're just coming in because they got called to the scene. And the next thing, somebody's pulling a gun on them. And unfortunately for these officers, if they delay, you can sit there and second guess these officers all you want, but if they delay, then they're the ones that leave the orphans. You know, it's a job I would never want or never envy, that they put themselves in one call. They're in a life and death situation. And anyway, looks like we're out of time. I'm glad I had the opportunity. This was Terrence Gross. You should call me about a personal injury case, 434-3333, or visit me on the web at grossandschuster.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Terry. Always fascinating to hear your perspective. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel, and that was Terrence Gross with Gross and Schuster.